We're here today interviewing the founder and owner of ZWraps, Michelle Zamora, to find out more about her company and the story behind it.
So the business is called ZWraps, and it's a reusable food wrap. So it saves people from having to use single-use plastics like plastic wrap and zip-top bags and also aluminum foil, stuff like that. And it keeps your food really nice, and they're reusable. They last at least 100 washes, which ends up being about 6 to 12 months, and they look really great. We love our designs, too.
So what was your inspiration to start this business?
You know, I was kind of sick of using my own plastic bags and plastic wrap, and I figured there must be something else out there. And then I happened to see one of a business like this out there, and I went to go look at it and have a look. And you know when you're like swiping to the left when you're looking at something online, right? And I was like, all right, you know, but where's, I kept looking for the one that I was gravitating to, like which one did I want to try? And I didn't see a design that I wanted. And I used to sew. And so I don't know if you know anybody that sews, but most of us have a lot of fabric. So I had a lot of fabric and I was like, well, let me try making one myself. And so I went out and I like bought the beeswax and I bought everything. And, you know, at the end of the day, I really liked having a fabric that I loved the way it looked. And that was kind of, it didn't work very well because it was the first time that I made it, but I loved the way it worked.
Yeah.
And looked. And that was kind of, it was like, wow, okay, I would want to use this more if it was easy to use and it looked great. And that's how it kind of started.
So is there like an environmental piece to that? Is there something about like wanting to not use plastic wraps and saran wrap, that stuff? Is there kind of like an environmental component about this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, we made a mess, and it's our responsibility to figure out how to make less of it, you know? But I think a big way that I'm trying to help make that happen is by making the choice easier. And I think it's easier to make a shift away from something that's been really easy. It's easy to use single-use stuff and convenient. And it's a really big ask to ask someone not to do that anymore. And so we're making something that's easy to use, that looks really great. And we're trying to make it as convenient as possible for people to make that shift. And so, you know, that's what we're doing.
After which try did you actually get like the
form? Oh my gosh, so many. I don't know what number. I mean, and we still look at it and still tweak it every once in a while. Like if we get feedback from somebody, I mean, we probably have over maybe 25,000 of them out there right now. And we've been around for 18 months and we got one bad review, and somebody was like, said that it smelled a little bad. And you can't just sit back and be like, we're cruisy, you know? So it's constant evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. The once you stop doing that, you're done.
Right. Yeah. So when you first started this business, were your friends and family supportive of it? What were like their takes on it?
So me wanting to have a business. So first of all, I was never like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I taught outdoor ed, you know, so I've always, but this was making something and wanting to make a business out of it. This was not my first idea. And then I learned the word scale, where you have to make something that you can make a lot of and make money out of. And so in terms of my family being supportive and friends being supportive, always in a realistic way. And I think once I came around to this idea, it was like, okay, now you're on to something. And so I think it's really important for friends and family to understand is how can you be lovingly critical?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't support somebody in something that you know they really is not going to like go anywhere, but how can you be lovingly critical?
Yeah.
And I've been really fortunate that through my a roller coaster of figuring out what the business should be, and still, like, maybe a design isn't good, or maybe a way to roll something out or a direction to take the business, like, lovingly critical is really important.
So like you said before, you figured out what scale was. Were you just doing it by hand and basically taking in costs?
Oh, I was. It wasn't even like doing this. I was doing paper cut shadow boxes and like these paper cut chandeliers. So like paper, like cutting out paper circles and like sewing them on strands and like sewing them onto like these reeds and like making a paper chandelier. Right. That's not scalable. Like at all. They looked great and like friends were supporting me and being like, oh, I'll buy one for somebody who had a baby and somebody this and somebody that. And I was like, yes, this is awesome. Yeah. No.
So it just kind of unintentionally took off?
Well, I took a class actually at Elms College and just learned more about who's your customer and scale. And that's when I made my first one of these wraps. And I was like, that took like 6 minutes.
Right.
Versus these paper cut things were taking over an hour. Mm-hmm. And like, how many people want a wrap? Like, what's the audience? What's the customer? How long did that take me? How many can I make? What's the shadow box thing? You know, how much money am I making? How, who's that customer? And I did like, you know, I'm like, okay, let's change it up a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So I guess, how did you decide on your fabrics and design?
So this is when probably you should say like, I did focus group and I did, you know, I did surveys and I did this and I did that. And this is where I trusted my gut.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I have a really good eye for design. This is the only real place where it's like, that's my gut.
You know? I mean, they're cute.
Yeah,
so
it's your creative side, just pulling
right.
The design.
I mean,
yeah.
There's such a nice variety for, you said, like, males, females, like, flowers versus women.
Thank you. And that's the only place for the whole business that it really comes to my gut,
yeah.
And that's me. And hopefully that keeps going well.
Yeah, right. So, as a female in business, did you come across any gender-specific problems?
No, I don't really see gender as an issue. I haven't gone out for funding, so I think that's an area that could potentially be a problem. I'd like to not have gender be so much of a part of the conversation, you know? It'd be nice to just be more like, look at what people are doing, you know, look at what
business.
This person is doing,
yeah.
Look at what that person is doing, and how can we level the playing field and say, how do we support this environmental, you know,
cause
or, you know, yeah. Whatever.
And,
cause it comes up a lot. And, I think it's more cool that I didn't have a background in business at all, and that I went out and I sought out people to learn from, and I was like a sponge, you know, and so who can I talk to, who can I learn from, and people really were happy to, and still are happy to, spend time to advise and teach me, and you know, I keep having to have some of the conversations over and over and over again to learn, and I have to spend a lot of time doing that, and it does take me away from family and friends and everything like that, but it's all worth it in the end. And so how do we kind of re-navigate that conversation while honoring some of the challenges that are there? But I think we keep polarizing the situation when we ask that question. So what's the right way to honor that without keep hammering on it? You know what I mean? It's an interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
So were there ever any big roadblocks or like any low points in doing this where you just kind of wanted to give up on this or just put it aside for a little bit?
No.
Well,
no,
yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
You just, it's, you have to be all in. There's definitely, it's a huge roller coaster, you
yeah.
know, but the fun of a roller coaster, it's fun going down on a roller coaster because you know, like, the next second you go to go back up. And that's not to say when things are really shitty, they're really shitty. You know what I mean? And then something great happens. And so, like, you just have to know that that's how it happens. And I think that's when having great support of your family and your friends and having great advisors and listening to great things like How I Built This. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the podcast How I Built This, but I highly recommend listening to it. It's the nature of the business that things fail, things break, you make bad decisions, you lose money. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And so to know that, like, wow, I haven't lost $500,000 yet, I guess I haven't really made it, is like, yeah. Okay. You know, like, shoot, yeah, you know, like, that's what I really need to do before, like, I hit it, like, big, yeah, you know. So,
yeah.
So those things help add perspective, you know, and I've been really fortunate. Like, this, my timing for this product, we nailed it, yeah, you know. And so we've really been doing really well. Most companies in their first 18 months that we've been around, I mean, we made a profit in our first year. Well, that doesn't really happen, yeah, you know? And so when I have to remember that when something not so great happens, you know, like, we were supposed to get a key account as, like, a big account, right? So things were going well at a trade show and a key account came in and everything seems like it's going to go really well. And they give you your business card, their business card, and they're like, yeah, yeah, love it, love it. Okay, you know, let's connect. And you're like, oh my God, X, like, wants us in their, you know, stores. And then a month later, a sales rep Y didn't follow through and it doesn't happen. And you're just like, are you kidding me? This is my baby and you didn't make this happen, and what happened, and you don't know why. And it's like, who knows? But you have, right. And so after a week, you get over it, you lick your wounds and you move on. It's just what you have to do.
So I guess, what advice would you give to people who are starting their own business?
It's so funny. Like, there's a couple of such cliche things that I like want to say, but they're true. I mean, it's so true. To, like, you gotta love what you want to do. I mean, you can't fake it. Like, I'm 18 months in. The first year, I literally worked 100 hours a week. Well, just think about how many hours that really is.
That's nuts.
You cannot do that unless you love it.
Absolutely.
But it's hard to figure out, how do I know what I love to do? And so you really have to be okay with, I did the paper chandeliers, I did the shadow boxes. Like, it was a natural evolution to get to where I am. And I could have easily, if there was more waking hours in the day, worked more hours. Like, I was excited about what I was doing and what I was creating and the people that I was seeking out to find out more about, how do I do this? How do I source fabric? What's the next trade show? How do I get sales reps? How do I find beeswax? How do I get employees? How do I find a studio? And that was all so much later. How do I make packaging? How do I anything?
Right.
Because I didn't know jack about anything.
Yeah.
And so I loved it. And I still love it. And I have a 4 and a 7-year-old and a husband, you know, and it's easy for me to go away from them and totally turn that off. And I could do it all the time. And when I come back, I need to focus so hard on being fully present with them, because I know in not too long, I'm going to have to leave again. And I love it. And if it wasn't something that I didn't love, there's no possible way.
What qualities are you looking for people who you hire and work for you?
I think right now, because we're a startup, we're still a startup. I think we'll be a startup for a long time. I need people who have lots of different skills. you know, you can't just, I wear lots of hats. My husband wears lots of hats. So somebody who's coming in, I need them to be flexible and be able to hopefully wear lots of hats. You know, like I have people who come in and fold and package, but they also know a little bit about computers so that when I'm like, what's going on with my printer? You know, they can know, you know, it's just also like, it, you know, starting out in production for us, that's what we need. It's covered by our COGS. It's really easy for us to keep bringing in more people for production. The cost of goods sold, you know, it's all in those, that's covered by when we sell a product, their wages are covered by when we sell the product, right? So, but as we grow, we'll have more money for people to start being on the other side, like where I sit, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of like starting in the mailroom, you know, you like start on that side and then you can like come over and move up over, but you need to know how everything started. And you're like overhearing my conversations with sales reps and sales goals and things like that, or marketing, PR, whatever. I would love for you to start there and then say, oh, I know about social media, or I take pictures, I'm a photographer, I did that in school, or I know about SEO. And I'll be like, you know about SEO? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, because I don't know about any of that. And right. So if when I'm talking to somebody, if you have many things to offer and you're willing to start with that, when you can just plug in and listen to a book, you know, or listen to podcasts, that's awesome. And then also be able to have something else to offer. That's what I need right now.
You mentioned you wear a lot of hats. Your husband wears a lot of hats. Is he a big part of helping you here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, behind. I mean, he teaches during the day. He's a special ed teacher during the day. But he is, he's the CFO of the company. But he also does a lot of operations stuff. You know, people say when the business is doing really well, is he gonna quit teaching and come work for the business full time? And the answer is no. When the business is working really well, he's going to quit Z-Raps and just focus that. He loves doing it. He's really good at numbers. He's phenomenal, but he wants to do it for what he wants, as much as he wants to do it, not that he has to do it.
Right.
He used to manage inventory for a warehouse, $10 million worth of flooring. So he's fantastic at all of that stuff, but it's not what he's passionate about.
So as of right now, it's just helping you, most likely. Like,
I mean, it's our business, so he's helping himself too.
After all.
Yeah.
Now, does social media help you with spreading the word about the Z-Raps?
It needs to get there. I don't think it does a good enough job yet. I mean, that's another piece of hiring the right person. And we have a presence, but I don't think it's grown our following enough yet and grown the brand awareness enough yet. So that's something that we're working on, understanding more of the background analytics and boosting. And my gosh, it's like a whole nother world.
So do you have like one specific social media platform that you think excels more than the others, or kind of stands out more than others, like an Instagram or Facebook?
Well, I mean, we use Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Okay.
So it's understanding how to use those three the best, which I'm not tasking myself with understanding that. I'm leaving that to the professionals.
Absolutely.
Part of all of this is definitely knowing when to outsource and knowing what you're really good with and getting to the point in your business where you know what your budget can afford for you to outsource.
Yeah.
And then having your CFO and yourself agree on that.
Right. Which stores carry your products, and how did you choose them, or how did they come to you?
So we're in about 280 stores right now.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very crazy. Impressive.
So, and that started with, it really, I mean, I walked into myself probably 15, 7, maybe 7 to 10 stores. Yeah. And, you know, so it was great, you know. I got a good response. The product looks really good in the package. People had an awareness of what it was, and I got a nice response, which was great. And it's a huge waste of time, because when you walk into a store, is the buyer there? You know, are they busy? How long did it take me to get to that store? And no, the buyer's not there. They're busy. It's not the day that they're in, whatever, da-da-da. Like, a buyer? It's not the manager? Like, who? Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, you know? So then what you really need to do is go find your right trade show. Go to the trade show. But the trade show needs to know that you're prepared to fulfill orders for the kinds of stores that are going to that trade show, which we thankfully were prepared to do. And so the first trade show I went to was called New England Made, is called New England Made. They're phenomenal. And their show was up in Portland in March. Just went for the second time. My first show, we got a great response, and I opened up 40 accounts in one weekend, which was phenomenal. That's when I knew I had to quit my job.
Yeah.
But it was a big cliff to jump off of, because a job, somebody's giving you a regular paycheck. Since then, I haven't collected a paycheck.
Yeah.
I give our employees paychecks, which is great, and we have our studio, and, you know, all of our bills are paid on time or early or whatever it is, but I don't get to get a paycheck yet.
Right.
So that's been, you know, fun. So at the trade show, there's also sales reps that walk around, and they're looking to pick up new lines. And a phenomenal sales rep up in Maine, in New Hampshire, walked into my booth, and she was just like, when you're ready to have a sales rep, you know, give me a call. And I was like, a sales rep? What? I don't know what that is. And so I called her like a month later, and she explained the whole thing to me, and it was like, oh, that's how you do that. You go to all the stores for me.
Right.
I can't do it. And so their rep group covers a territory, you know, New England, and there's 4 of them, and they get a commission for all the sales that are made. And so I just, and, you know, it's just, they can say, we're done with you anytime, and I can say, I'm done with you anytime, so you don't really have much to lose. And so they were the first rep group that I signed on with, and that's how we started growing. And then once we felt comfortable that we had that territory covered, that I could satisfy all of those orders, that's when you're like, okay, who do you recommend be our next territory? And so they recommended the Northwest. So like Washington, Alaska, Montana, like the Seattle, Oregon area.
Right.
It's a very similar area to New England,
right,
mentality-wise. So they recommended a rep group out there. And so we called them. And they're a fantastic rep group. And so it just started. And then we just started growing out all over the country. And now we have over 30 reps all over the country going into all the stores for us. And then they just, so now that's how we have 280 stores. Yeah.
So to wrap it up, what's your goal for the future, or where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
The goal is probably to sell the business. You know, we ourselves can only take it so far, and I'm not blind to the fact that there's always new, you know, food storage kind of products being made. And I'd love to see someone, you know, like SC Johnson bought Mrs. Meyers, right? And Toms of Maine and stuff like that. And they've still, and so SC Johnson makes Ziploc. So SC Johnson could make Ziploc, us could make Z-Wraps. And so that would be a great buyout. So now how do we, because I have other ideas, there's other businesses, you know, I say I have my two girls, and then I have this baby, and this is the one I'd be happy to sell. because, you know, there's just so far you can take it before it's time to pass it on to somebody else. So now what do we have to do to kind of set that up and make it happen? I have no idea if that will really happen in 5 years. I just, this kind of business is not like candles, you know, like I don't necessarily see this being a 30-year-long business when somebody else hasn't made something that's kind of leapfrog over what this is. It'd be great if, or what else does this need to turn into? You know what I mean? So that's what we have our eye on. It'd be fine if that didn't happen and people were happy to keep sticking with this. I'm just, you know, if it does happen, that's the goal.
Well, thank you so much for answering our
questions. Oh, thanks for asking me. This was great.
Yeah, you guys, this was phenomenal. Yay. We learned a lot that I honestly didn't expect or know coming into this either. So,
cool. That's great. Thank you.